We continue hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in Daniel Jeremiah, who, of course, is an NFL Network analyst. And Daniel also hosts the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. And if there's someone to talk to at the NFL Network about the NFL draft, it's, of course, Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this. How you been?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you.
Well, I know you were sitting next to Thomas Davis the other day when he said that it's a surprising pick potentially for the Panthers. And from what he knows, people upstairs are enamored with Anthony Richardson. How do you kind of process that one a day or two later?
Yeah, that one shocked me for sure. So I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going to happen there. Obviously, Thomas is dialed in with his connections, you know, in that organization. So I always take what he says seriously. You know, especially we're talking about the Carolina Panthers, but that one would still, that would shock me if that's where we ended up after this whole time. You know, I think they're continuing to go through the paces here with all these quarterbacks at the pro days. They were out in full force today at CJ Stroud's there at Ohio State, and they'll be at Ohio State or they'll be at Alabama tomorrow for Bryce Young. So I still think to me, it makes the most sense. It ends up being one of those two guys, and I'm still leaning towards Alabama and Bryce Young, but it's going to be a fascinating draft. We don't know who the first pick's going to be.
No doubt about it. And it seemed like when the Panthers moved up to one, the intention was to draft C.J. Stroud. I know you just mocked and you just said it, Bryce Young should be the number one overall pick. It does feel like the last week, just from different reporters, that maybe the tide is turning back to Young being the number one pick.
Well, I think he's the best player. So, you know, much has been made about the size and, you know, can he physically hold up? But just as the players on tape, you know, you look at all these top quarterbacks, I think Bryce has the best tape, and I think by a pretty significant margin. So I still think that's where it ultimately ends up. You land on that, who the best player is. But, you know, I think, again, let's see what he looks like tomorrow and they get a chance to visit with him. You know, there's some intriguing options in this draft for sure, but that one I just keep coming back to is the one that makes the most sense.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I was more impressed with Bryce Young this year than C.J. Stroud. I thought Bryce Young did more with less. And then you look at C.J. Stroud, I know what he did up against Georgia was incredible and even said to me at the Heisman, he's more athletic than what people give him credit for, and he hopes to put that on display soon, and he did. I just wonder with C.J. Stroud, why it took that long to show off that athleticism throughout the season.
Well, I think that's fair. You know, I think that's 100% fair when you lob that, you know, criticism. I've had the same one where, you know, I just kind of wondered what, you know, why didn't we see more of this, you know, throughout the process. Now the old scouting adage is if you can do it once, we know you can do it. So there is that. I would say the argument though of what he did, you know, in that game against Georgia, you know, should be enough to vault him over Bryce Young. I would counter that and say when you pull up the numbers of Bryce Young, when he had his receivers healthy in the SEC championship game against the Georgia defense that was much better than the one we saw last year, the one previously, which had all those, the record number of draft picks, including the first overall pick, Trayvon Walker, He was 26 of 44 for 421 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, and also had 40 yards on the ground and another touchdown on the ground against that Georgia defense. So, you know, that's why, you know, I think Bryce, you don't want to shortchange him there, no pun intended. And then the other thing I would say is the best receiver that Bryce Young got to play with in his time at Alabama was the receiver that had to leave Ohio State because he couldn't get on the field.
How about that? Daniel Jeremiah here with us, and you're not wrong on that. When you look at Bryce Young, people talk about the size or the lack of it. I've watched him play football for 2 years, never thought he was too small to play the position. I know his size isn't ideal, but he fought through that. How big of a concern is the size from people you talk to?
I don't think it's as big, you know, talking to people around the league. There's preferences. You know, if there was a player of similar ability and he was bigger, you would go with the other player. That would be the tiebreaker. But I think that's exactly what it is. It's a tiebreaker. And I don't think, you know, most teams I talk to have him as the top guy and feel like there isn't, you know, it's not close enough where the size would be the deciding factor. He's just a better player. So we'll deal with that and, you know, with the risk that comes along with it. But I haven't heard it as much of a critique in league circles as maybe you see in the media.
Talking to Daniel Jeremiah, at their best, what is the ceiling for Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud in the NFL?
Well, I mean, I think with Bryce Young, he plays the game similarly to the way Joe Burrow plays the game. He just doesn't have that size. So, I mean, that's lofty praise, but I don't think that's, you know, out of the question that he can play at that level. And with Stroud, you know, I think C.J. Stroud's got a chance to be a really good, pure pocket passer. So, you know, who that is, it's tougher to come up with one on that front. I would say, you know, you say this name and people think this is a bad thing, but if you look at the career that Kirk Cousins has had, I think Stroud can, you know, plays the game similarly to Kirk Cousins. He's a better athlete, but he plays the game from the pocket and is very, very accurate, and that's what you've seen from Cousins throughout his career.
Talking to Daniel Jeremiah, you have the Colts right now mocking, taking Anthony Richardson in your latest mock draft. When you look at Richardson, I know at the combine, right, he blew the roof off the place at Lucas Oil Stadium. What are you hearing a few weeks removed from the combine about Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, just a total wild card. Everybody loves him as a kid. Everybody loves, you know, the traits that he has, which are off the charts, rare, rare, rare traits. And just know that you gotta believe in your development plan with him. You know, if you have the right pieces in place and you have some patience, it could pay off bigger than anybody else in the draft. He's got the biggest upside. So I don't think that's really changed. It was obviously an incredible show that he put on there. It's a kind of a risk-reward operation with him. You're going to take some risk here, but the reward is pretty incredible. So I think he ends up going in the top 10. It's just a matter of how the other guys come off the board. But I definitely think somebody's going to talk themselves into that just because it's so, so intriguing.
Daniel Jeremiah, you had Will Levis going 19th right now in your latest mock draft. When do you think the earliest is that he could go, though, in the draft?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was, you know, the fourth pick. I think that, you know, Indianapolis is a real spot there that I would not sleep on with him. I think the Raiders are one that I point to, even with Jimmy Garoppolo, that he could be in their plans there. I think the Tennessee Titans picking 11, I wouldn't be surprised at that. There's a lot of potential spots for him. I would say, you know, to me, the Colts make the most sense in terms of how high he could go, unless there's a team, and maybe it's the Raiders, that wants to move up a few spots to get ahead of the Colts at 3, you know, where Arizona is right now. Maybe there ends up being a market there, and he could land in that spot.
If Caleb Williams and Drake May were in this draft,
1 and 2.
They would be 1 and 2?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done the same level of work on them as I have in this class. You know, I try and stay where my feet are here, but I've seen enough of them in doing crossover tape, doing other players, to know that those are two really, really special talents that don't come around very often. And in talking to folks around the league, there's that same level of excitement about what's to come.
So, like, we sit here and we go, once Young and Stroud are off the board, if you're a team that's looking at Richardson, or if you're a team that's looking at Levis, maybe you think, oh, next year we'll go get Williams or we'll go get Drake May. How realistic is that, though, from a team thinking? Because if you're thinking that way, then you think you're going to stink next year, and why you'd be in that position to get one of those two guys.
Yeah, no, you might be positioning the organization and whoever took your job to make that pick. You know, that's usually not a great way to go. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where even when you see people trading for assets next year, you go, oh, we're going to have a war chest with picks. So, you know, next year we can trade up and get our guy. Well, when you get these players like we've got next year, teams don't trade off that. The only teams that would trade off that are the teams that are going to win too many games to be up there. So there's no way you're going to get teams to trade off the first or second pick when you've got quarterbacks like that. So I think that if you find one that you like right now that's better than what you're playing with, you have to take them. You can't sit here and hope and wish and pray that somehow, you know, you have a way to navigate up to get one of those guys next year. There's just no guarantees.
Hendon Hooker is the consummate professional. I did see you have him sneaking into the first round in at 23. How likely do you think it is, though, that he goes in the first?
I'm curious to see all the medical stuff, how it comes back. I have not heard that yet. But, you know, as a player, I think he's a first-round player. Do I wish he was a little younger? Do I wish he was coming off a healthy season? Absolutely. But I think he's got NFL starter ability, and I think he's got a chance to, you know, be an 8 to 10 year starter in this league, and that warrants first round consideration, and that's why I put him in there. And there are some teams picking, you know, when you look at those two teams, Tampa, Minnesota, those are, you know, quarterback teams, and those are teams that I think at that point in time, Hendon Hooker have to be a serious consideration.
I saw that you had four first-round wide receivers go: Jackson Smith and Jigba, Zay Flowers, Addison out of USC, and then Quinton Johnson. What is the highest upside with Jackson Smith and Jigba? Because we've seen recently guys like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson come into the league and right away take the league by storm.
Yeah, I know the numbers he put up at Ohio State. I wouldn't put him in their class. He's not nearly as dynamic or as explosive as those guys. But a really, really good player. He's going to be in the slot. He's going to be a high-volume guy. So I think he's going to catch a ton of balls. I just don't think he's quite as electric as those players. But I think he's ready to go. It's a good receiver group. It's not quite what we've had the last few years. I would take, you know, both of Smith and Jigba's teammates from last year over him. We saw that the way those guys exploded on the scene with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. But it's a good group this year. But, man, we've just been on an unbelievable run of wideouts the last few years, and it's not quite at that level.
I never know how to predict running backs anymore. I know Bijan Robinson's going to go in the first round. Daniel Jeremiah, you had him going 14th to the Patriots. When do you think the earliest is that he could go? Because I'm really lost now when it comes to predicting running backs in the NFL draft.
Yeah, you and me both. I have no clue. You know, I could make up a team and say, okay, it could be here. I have no idea who's going to buck the trend here with running backs taken high in the draft. But guys like him don't come around every year. He is a rare talent. He's a special player. And in a league, in a draft year, I should say, where we have so much uncertainty and so much risk, I think this is a guy, you know exactly who he is and what he is, and he's going to be a real impact player. You know, the shelf life isn't long at this position, but I still think you get a premier player like this. You've got the 5 years, you've got a franchise year. That you can be signing up for 6 years of elite play, and anything you were to get after that would be gravy. I still think there's a lot of value with him.
Do you see him making like a McCaffrey or a Zeke impact right away for a team?
Yeah, that's the caliber of back he is. You know, you look at those guys that have gone up there, you know, it's actually a really high hit rate for the most part of these backs that have gone in the top 10, and we can argue about longevity, durability. But even, you know, you look at a Todd Gurley, what he did in the, you know, yeah, first few years of his career, he's a real difference maker.
Daniel Jeremiah does a great job, NFL Network analyst. He's also the host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. A few more with you before we let you run. I love Dalton Kincaid. I see you have him as the best tight end, the first tight end coming off the board. Why Kincaid over Mayer, in your opinion?
Just more explosive. You know, he's just more sudden, more of, you know, kind of a playmaker, more after the catch in terms of being able to run away from you as well as make you miss and run through a tackle. Mayer is a true inline tight end, a power player. You know, wall guys off and you know, make contested catches, but I just think you get a little more juice with Kincaid.
Who are your sleepers? Like, who are guys right now that we should be talking more about that you're falling in love with that's not getting a lot of burn nationally?
Well, there's some good players, man, all the way through. If you go guys that I have, you know, kind of just outside the top 50 who I think are really good players, I can give you a couple. I mean, there's a corner from Iowa, Riley Moss, who I think is going to go on day two at some point in time, who's got a legit track background, just a really tough, competitive, physical player. I look at guys that don't run great at Indy as being bargain picks, and Jair Brown from Penn State is a safety. I still think he's the best safety in the draft, but he didn't run particularly well, ran in the mid-4.6s. I think he goes from somebody that might have, you know, could have snuck into the bottom of the first round to some point in time now, you're going to get him in the middle to late portion of the second round. That's just a tremendous value there with him. So those are just a couple DBs off the top of my head that I think are going to be real value picks.
Is Will Anderson the best defensive player in this draft?
I think that he's going to be the safest, great defensive player in this draft. I still think Jalen Carter is a more dominant player. But, you know, for the well-documented reasons, there's some risk involved there. You got to make sure that, you know, he's focused on the right things and taking care of business off the field. But on the field, I think he's the most talented player.
And I saw he avoided jail time last week. Is he in danger of falling out of the top 10?
I don't think so. You know, you look at the 10th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles, his former teammates there, N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis, I would think they'd have a very good feel for him and feel like that's a environment that they could look after him and take care of him and get him where he needs to be. I just couldn't envision a scenario where they would pass on.
And last thing I'll ask you, Daniel Jeremiah, let's just say we're talking 5 years from now. Who are the five players that are the best from this draft class?
Well, I love Devin Witherspoon, the corner from Illinois. One of my favorite players to watch. We touched on Kincaid. I feel great about him being a slam dunk type player. Bijan Robinson, we mentioned. I think these guys are all guys you know exactly what you're going to get. Peter Skoronski, whether he's playing guard or tackle from Northwestern, I'm buying him all day long. And then I'll give you one other offensive lineman here, and Darnell Wright from Tennessee, who's he's a plug-and-play right tackle who was good on tape in the fall, great at the Senior Bowl, excellent combine. Usually when you pass all three of those tests, you end up being a really good player.
Isn't it funny how that works? You spend all this time talking about quarterbacks, and then a quarterback's not in that five for you.
Oh, it's the toughest thing to evaluate in all of sports, and it's the toughest thing to project and predict, and you're dependent on what's around you and coaching you and playing in front of you and playing on the outside. There's so many factors that go into those guys being successful that I never feel like, really, really comfortable saying that's a slam dunk.
Always appreciate your insight, Daniel Jeremiah. I really appreciate you carving out the time for us today. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. We'll see you.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's so tough to figure out where Bijan Robinson is going to go in this year's draft. So, let's just use three mock draft guys, right? Let's go with Daniel Jeremiah, who just joined us. He had Bijan Robinson going 14th. I'm not even going to go Kuiper McShay because you probably have to use a paywall to get that info or find someone that just published it. So I'll use our guys here in Ryan Wilson and Chris Trapasso, I think, do a great job. Ryan Wilson has Bijan Robinson going 27th to the Buffalo Bills. And let's see, is Jahmyr Gibbs in his mock draft as well? I'm just curious on that front. If you can maybe get two running backs go in the first round, like when you had Travis Etienne and Najee Harris go in the first round recently, there is not Jahmyr Gibbs in Ryan Wilson's mock draft, but Jahmyr Gibbs is in Chris Trapasso's mock draft, and he's at 29 to the Saints. But Bijan Robinson is 18th to the Lions. So, Hickey, when we go through this, the first nine picks, no shot Robinson goes. We know the Panthers and Texans taking a quarterback. Cardinals ain't doing it at three. Colts have Jonathan Taylor. Seahawks and Lions aren't doing it at 5 and 6. Raiders have Josh Jacobs for another year, not doing so at 7th. Panthers and Bears not doing so at 9. The first team I could potentially see doing so is Philadelphia. Remember, just lost Miles Sanders. They have a pretty complete team as it is. Not many holes on that roster. They're a team where if you think where you have a window too for 3 to 5 years, maybe more than that, but you think you have a Super Bowl window, if you believe that offensive playmaker who would be so explosive, Bijan Robinson, go there, I would be fine with Philadelphia taking him at 10. Especially when you pair him with Jalen Hurts, you have A.J. Brown, you have skinny Batman, as they call him, in Devontae Smith. I think that's the earliest. I'm not saying he's going at 10, but that's the earliest I think he could go.
And I don't think it's a reach whatsoever because you get a guy, think about it, 6 years, really talented on a very cheap contract. No one says you have to extend him. You have 5 years. Plus, if you want a franchise tag for 1 year because the running back franchise tag is still very manageable, you have 6 legitimate years. And like I said, a 3 to 5 year window right now for the Eagles where they're trying to win right now with a very talented player that you could argue is maybe even better than Miles Sanders. So you get an upgrade possibly on a deal that's a lot cheaper. It sounds like a win all over the place.
And you don't even have to go to the 6 years where I guess the 6 years that you would get it is the 4 in the regular deal and the 5th year option, then 1 year the franchise tag, and then you potentially trade him after that?
Yeah, or let him, yeah.
Exactly. I would even say you could bring him in for 3 years. If you go win a Super Bowl and you don't want to give him the deal, you could then trade him when stock's at the highest 3 years into that contract if he's as good of a player as what people project him out to be.
And if you won a Super Bowl in that time.
Yes, that too. There's right. A lot of moving pieces.
Yes,
there.
But yeah, it's you have flexibility, and it's absolutely not a reach to take a running back in the top 10.
Okay, let's go then outside the top 10. And I do think it's a reach for most teams to take a running back in the top 10 now. I would not do it. But for a team like Philadelphia, they're a bizarre team that should not be picking in the top 10. the reason they are is because they have that pick from the Saints, so I would understand why they would do it there. Outside of the top 10, I don't think Tennessee will do it at 11. I get it. You get the potential replacement for Derrick Henry, and then you could trade Derrick Henry. I think there's too many holes in that roster to justify taking a running back. The Texans, I know we said that there's no shot at 2. I don't think they would do it at 12, Hickey. Also because I like what you saw from Dameon Pierce, and I think Nick Caserio would draft another position of need at 12 to give you another foundational piece for the future moving forward.
And how about a wide receiver? Especially with Brandon Cooks now gone, like you would value receivers over running backs.
And you may have the first wide receiver still available on the board there. I know last year we had what? It was the first three wide receivers. I think if they went 10, 11, 12.
Three in a row. Bing, bang, boom. Yep.
And that was what? I don't remember the order, but it was Garrett Wilson. 10.
I think it was Olave 11. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Lions traded up for Jameson Williams at 12.
I may be wrong on this, so let me check. But I want to say Williams went 2 and then Olave went 3 in that draft. I could be dead wrong on that. I personally like Olave the best out of that 3. That was kind of my take going into that draft. Let me just pull it up here real quickly. Oh, no. You know what? Your memory's better than mine. Garrett, it was probably all that time you were writing down those names and keeping track of it at the draft with your master Excel sheet. I think the best version of Hickey, honestly, in terms of you being a producer, is actually at the draft. You were locked into the draft last year.
A lot of moving pieces. Got to make sure everything is, you know, like you are informed. We're not missing any trades, which was a very active
crazy
NFL draft as well.
And we learned about the Hickey point that night. Hickey would be like, wait. Just point up one finger, write down the trade details, then give them to us. Or there was a young child that kept on trying to interrupt our broadcast, and Hickey at one point was like, parent, do not go there. And you gave him the Hickey point, and he ran away as like he was a scared puppy
dog. And I did not curse at him.
You did it. You do have a potty mouth, so I'm surprised by that. So Garrett Wilson, 10, Olave, 11, Jameson Williams did go 12. So you could, if you are the Texans, get the best receiver available there. If that's Jackson Smith and Jigba, if you like Quentin Johnson from TCU, Zay Flowers out of BC has been a name that's been skyrocketing, or Jordan Addison out of USC. Or you go defense. Never hurts to go defense or line. I know they just locked up and extended Laremy Tunsil, but it never hurts to go line there in that spot.
Especially if it's Bryce Young.
The Jets don't need it because they have Breece Hall coming back. I know he mocked Daniel Jeremiah, that is. The Patriots taking Bijan Robinson. I know the Patriots just allowed Damian Harris to walk to Buffalo. I think Ramondre Stevenson is a good back. And I'm trying to think. Belichick with running backs. He has taken some running backs in the first round. He took Sony Michel.
Lawrence Maroney.
And Lawrence Maroney out of Minnesota with the Golden Gophers.
Man, one worked out well and one didn't.
Well, did either really work out all that well?
Now, well, Sony Michel was solid.
Sony Michel played well in the Super Bowl team, but did not last long in New England.
Could argue he could have won the MVP that game.
And the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No. You're thinking James White.
Oh, is that it? Oh, yeah. Sorry. They look exactly alike. Same stature.
He was on the Super Bowl 53 team. Sony Michel. So I don't think he would take a running back at 14.
But?
And I would be furious if they did, actually. Because I'd rather draft. I know they just signed Gesicki and they still have Hunter Henry. I'd rather have, in that spot, Dalton Kincaid. I'd rather have a wide receiver if it's Jackson Smith and Jigba or Quentin Johnson still available. You know what? Furious may be a stretch. I think I would be okay. I wouldn't love it, but I think I'd talk myself into it.
I want to see Bill O'Brien run the three tight end set back. Let's go. Bring back old school 1940s football. Gesicki, Hunter Henry, and Dalton Kincaid, although I think they call Michael Mayer the mini Gronk or baby Gronk? Baby Gronk. So
yeah,
maybe that would
If we're going back to multiple tight ends, just don't draft a murderer this time.
Well, that would help.
That would probably help.
That would do wonders.
Green Bay, don't need it. Washington, they just drafted Brian Robinson. I don't think you go with Bijan Robinson there. Pittsburgh has Najee Harris. How about Detroit at 18? No more Jamal Williams. You still have DeAndre Swift. Would they go running back? They brought in David Montgomery. Probably not.
Probably not.
But is that a team at least under consideration? It would be fun with that offense.
As long as they don't take a quarterback at six, which I think is now getting less likely by the day. So as long as they kind of don't go like a project there and waste one in terms of win now.
And is there a quarterback at 18? Like if, I don't think Richardson's falling, but if Richardson falls, do they then move up from 18 to 12 to go get him? Or if they like Will Levis, do they draft a quarterback there at 18? I would say probably no with the quarterback there.
I would agree, and probably no with the running back as well.
Okay. But a team that's, it's at least a possibility.
Yes.
It's not an automatic no. So far, Eagles at 10. You could talk me into the Patriots at 14, even though I wouldn't love it. You could talk me into the Lions at 18. Tampa Bay at 19. I think they have so many holes in that roster, I would say no. Here's an interesting one. What about the Seahawks? Seahawks at 20?
Just got Kenneth Walker. Who would have won Offensive Rookie of the Year if he didn't get hurt? Or is in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
But do you kind of pair them up together? Yeah, that's kind of a waste. You're right.
And he's a great name, K-9. I don't want to see him on the bench.
Yeah, that's true. Kenneth, who was my favorite running back in the draft last year, I would say no.
And now you're ready to throw him on the bench.
No. It'd be like a dual partnership.
A combo?
Here.
Okay.
It'd be like how the Chargers kind of envisioned Gordon and Austin Ekeler together at the time.
Till one held out and did not go well.
And then Melvin Gordon came on this show and cried. It was very emotional. Chargers at 21. Is it in play? If they can't get a deal done with Austin Ekeler, boom, there's your replacement. You kind of reset.
I would agree.
I would say the Chargers are in play.
Yes.
Ravens at 22, I think, are in play.
Ravens just draft a running back every year. Why not?
Vikings at 23. There's been some rumors about Dalvin Cook maybe being on his way out. I think they're in play. I think when you start, if it's not the Eagles at 10, I don't think the Pats do it. I don't think the Lions do it with Bijan Robinson. I think once you get into that 21 category with the Chargers, that's when it starts to get interesting here, Hickey. Because we just went through three teams, Chargers, Ravens, Vikings. Obviously, the Vikings have Cook. Obviously, the Chargers, they do have Austin Ekeler, but we don't know how long they're going to be staying there.
And now we're talking about playoff teams with, again, still holes, but now you're talking about really kind of going forward and giving a really good talent that can contribute right away.
Jaguars, no, they won't do it because they have Travis Etienne, even though that would be fun if you put Etienne and Bijan Robinson in the same backfield. Giants, let me ask you this. I would say no because you have Saquon Barkley, and that would be really, 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 really awkward. But if you feel like you can't extend him long-term, would they at least consider it? I would say no, but is it under a possibility of a team that could do it?
I would say no just because they need help at receiver bad. And if you have a receiver there, Jordan Addison, maybe Quentin Johnston drops, you got to take a receiver.
Yeah, you're probably right. It would be very Dallas-like to make this move. Now, you have Tony Pollard. Zeke is out, but you don't have Tony Pollard on a long-term deal. It's a one-year deal.
And you have no one of real substance behind him that is going to push Bijan out.
That would be a very Dallas move. If he's available at 27, Buffalo has to do it. I know they just drafted James Cook, but I would definitely do that. And I know they just got Damian Harris as well. What about the Bengals at 28? That wouldn't surprise me because you keep on hearing rumors about Joe Mixon as well.
And you got to think of salary cap, you know, considerations for the future where Joe Burrow, we talked about Ja'Marr Chase. If you want to keep T. Higgins, can't have, you know, Joe Mixon, his salary there, that's for sure. So why not reset?
Yeah, it's not a bad one. The Saints, if they want to move on from Kamara, he's also facing a potentially long suspension as well. I know they just brought in Jamal Williams, but the Saints, I think you have too many holes, but at 29, it could be really good value. And then how about if Philadelphia, who doesn't take him at 10, then gets him at 30, uses that pick to move up to go get him? That would be the Howie Roseman wheeling and dealing genius of Howie.
Are you going to say the Chiefs going to try again for another first round, end of the first round running back?
Because it would be fine. I know they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire and it did not work out. Isaiah Pacheco did work out for them this year. I would be okay with it if I'm Kansas City, but I don't think you need to because you could just do what kind of the Patriots did for 20 years, just plug and play running backs.
Does help having 15 there.
But value-wise, I don't think he'll be there at 31, but if you have to move up to like 24, 25, it may be worth it. So he'll go in the first round. I'm going to say it probably doesn't pick up until pick 21 with the Chargers, unless Philly does it at 10, which I can't put it past them. But then if a Jalen Carter starts to fall or someone like that or someone else starts to fall that isn't a running back, then it may make it a little bit more intriguing. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. More reaction to what Daniel Jeremiah said when he joined us earlier. We will touch on the quarterbacks when we return.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Just real quickly, last year's draft, we saw Drake London, wide receiver, go 8. Then Garrett Wilson go 10. Olave 11. Jameson Williams 12. Jahan Dotson 16. Traylon Burks did go 18. And then you did have, well, that wasn't in the first round, but you had Christian Watson go 34. So last year, Hickey, we saw 6 wide receivers go in the first round. This year, I would think the number's going to be 4. Like, maybe you could get a 5th in there. But I got to think Jaxon Smith-Njigba's going in the first round. Quentin Johnson's going in the first round. Addison from USC. And then everyone keeps on mocking, just depending on how high up the board you go, Zay Flowers going in the first round as well. Outside of that, Hickey, and I know you love this stuff, is there anyone else you could see going in the first round wide receiver-wise?
No, not this year. It's not as deep of a class. And we kind of got spoiled a little bit the last 2 years.
Oh, what about Jalen Hyatt?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a little bit of
a
funky
of a
offense.
Too.
He's good. Not just first round, I would say.
Yeah, that's probably it. I don't even know then, like, who we would think would be 5th to make a case for a first round. You know, outside of Hyatt. Like, outside of that. There's not a lot of marquee names in this wide receiver, which it's been weird. We've been so accustomed the last few years. It's been receivers, 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 receivers. You see what Justin Jefferson did, and he was the fifth wide receiver off that board. And then you see the immediate impact of Jamar Chase as well. When that debate was, do you go Jamar Chase, do you go Penei Sewell if you're the Cincinnati Bengals? So we've had a lot. And then last year we had 6 go in the first round. And now it's, okay, probably 4 go. And it doesn't seem like any are going to go in the top 10.
Right. Yeah, it's just one of those years where it's a little bit of a down year. Like I said, we've been spoiled 3 years in a row with primetime game-changing receivers, and the amount now is increasing where you are kind of due for a little bit of a dry spell. It resets a little bit next year. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out, and that's going to probably be the number one receiver on the board, get people excited.
I'd be surprised if anyone else emerges from
that. So it will pick up, but just one of those, you know, one of those classic down years. And still, we're talking about a down year. 4 are going in the first 31 picks.
And also, you could see a trade present itself where it takes a team out of the running for taking a wide receiver in the first round. Because I would say the 2 names that are still available via trade, like Odell, there's interest in the Jets. I think that is going to happen if Odell Beckham and the Jets could get a deal done. Well, you have to get the Rodgers deal done first. Once I think Odell's just waiting for that to be official, and then he'll go over to the Jets. That's what my thought is right now. It seems like that will happen. But the 2 names that you keep on hearing in trade circles wide receiving-wise, which we've also got accustomed to some pretty big wide receivers getting dealt over the last few years via trade, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, you know, just to name a few that have been dealt the last few years in the NFL. But I would think that Hopkins and then also, I don't want to call this guy a big name, because he hasn't been that great in his first 2 years. But it feels like Jerry Jeudy is going to get traded. But the only holdup there, I guess the Broncos want a 1. I read a report that the Patriots offered like a 2 and a 4. And that didn't happen. And I could actually get why the Patriots would do it, because the Mac Jones, I guess, relationship that he has with Jerry Jeudy. So if you want to go there and kind of make it like, and once again, this is very light in saying this, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, light. I guess that would be the thought process. But I don't know about you. The first 2 years, and I know he didn't have a quarterback 2 years ago, and Russell Wilson was a disaster this year. I have not been blown away with what people told me Jerry Jeudy was going to be with seeing what Jerry Jeudy ended up being.
I agree. Now, injuries, right, especially I think it was year two, I believe, or his rookie year when he had that ankle injury and kind of held him out for a good amount of the year. I get it, slowed him down. But even when he's been on the field, he's had issues catching the football. It's definitely not been the impact we thought we would get considering what we saw at Alabama a few years ago.
And also, and he's been in the league for 3 years, and it was 2021 where he was bogged down with some injuries. But if they're ready to give up on him that quickly, even with Sean Payton coming in, and I know year one didn't work with Russell Wilson, I think that speaks to a lot about Jerry Jeudy. How he's fine, he could be good, but I don't think he's going to be great. But for DeAndre Hopkins, I wonder what he's going to end up going for. And I saw one report that it could be similar to what Brandon Cooks ended up going for. And Brandon Cooks went for a 5 and a 6. I know that with how little he got traded for the first time, and he's now older, and he's coming off a suspension, but he's still a heck of a player when he gets on the field. I would have to think that Hopkins can go for a 2. Maybe it's a conditional 2 or it's a 3. And then based off of how many games he plays, it turns into a 2. But I would, like, if I'm the Patriots, I'd give up my second round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. If you're one of those teams that looking to get a wide receiver, a bona fide number one for your own quarterback.
Bad news on that front. Albert Breer saying the Patriots are not interested.
Now, not interested.
Not interested.
Who knows? You read something new each and every day. You know, I did see was interested in one of the reports.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting.
Obviously be interesting. It'd be a home run. He'd be the best wide receiver on the roster, number one. You pair him up with Travis Kelce. And if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, this is what I would do. I walk into Arizona and say, you're trading me, trade me to Kansas City. That's the only place I want to go to. That's what I would do. You get to play with Patrick Mahomes. You become the number one option outside of Kelce, but wide receiver, number one option. And you're going to be on a Super Bowl contender and a team that, if you get DeAndre Hopkins, maybe the favorite now to win the Super Bowl again, would definitely be the favorite if they go get DeAndre Hopkins. I think that would be great. And then Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Kadarius Toney drop down. I know Sky Moore was fine. You get him in that fold, and you have Travis Kelce. I would absolutely do that if I'm Kansas City. And if I'm Hopkins, I would push for it. Where else do you go? So if you're saying the Patriots are out, and who knows, if it's not the Chiefs that I think it should be, like, who's the next team that you go to for DeAndre Hopkins? I think the Ravens should. If you're trying to win over Lamar and if you want to keep Lamar long term, that would be a team. But who the heck, like, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I don't want to get traded to the Ravens right now. I don't even know if Lamar Jackson's going to be there. And then I get stuck with who? Like what it was in Houston for all those years before they got Deshaun Watson? So outside of Kansas City, and I'm looking at and thinking about realistic options, is there another team that jumps out to you, Hickey?
How about reuniting with his old pal, Deshaun Watson, Cleveland?
Now, he just traded for Elijah Moore today. And you got
Amari
Cooper, there.
But DeAndre Hopkins is a lot better than both those receivers.
You're not wrong. The only thing is, can Elijah Moore handle that? He was annoyed last year after his team won with his lack of targets in a victory at Lambeau Field up against the Packers. You get traded for, what is a second-round pick in that deal? And didn't they also get a third-round pick back in that deal?
Yes, it was Elijah Moore and a third-rounder for a second-round pick.
That doesn't make me think that they're going to be in on DeAndre Hopkins. But I like the idea of it. It would make sense. And if you're Deshaun Watson, I'm sure you would push for that too. And you know you have all the control that you need in that organization with what you were dealing with, and they gave you a fully guaranteed deal.
Bears. You got TJ Moore. You got all the cap space in the world. Yeah, now a ton of draft resources.
And you would expedite that process a lot quicker.
And you have a nice combo of DeAndre Hopkins and DJ Moore. Not bad. Not bad for Justin Fields.
You know, there's not a ton of options that you jump out and say, okay. Denver? Get rid of Jerry Jeudy, bring in DeAndre Hopkins or Russell Wilson?
I would do it if I'm them. Now, I don't know if they have the salary room to do so, but if you can, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good
make
point.
It work. Make it work.
And you know who I actually would consider this for? I know they have a crowded wide receiver room, and I don't know if they can make it work financially. What about Pittsburgh? You have Pickens. I know it'd be kind of out of the way that Pittsburgh does things with wide receivers. They usually do it through the draft. But you have Pickens. I think if you go trade for DeAndre Hopkins, you could then try to trade Deontay Johnson and then just take back whatever you want and someone else pays his contract. That'd be a big upgrade for a young quarterback in Kenny Pickett in a tough division. If you could line up with Hopkins and then also you line up with George Pickens and you trade Deontay Johnson with Najee Harris at running back and Kenny Pickett slinging the football and Freiermuth at tight end, that turns into a very good offense if you're Pittsburgh.
Not bad. You get some veteran leadership there too, which would be good for Kenny Pickett.
So that's going to be fascinating to see. And then obviously when it comes to the draft, it's all about the quarterbacks. And today, C.J. Stroud had his pro day. Tomorrow, it's going to be Bryce Young. The Panthers had 11 players or 11 people from their organization show up for the pro day of C.J. Stroud. And Frank Reich and Josh McCown look very happy. It's bizarre to see Josh McCown as a coach after almost getting hired as a head coach of the Texans and refusing to really go be an assistant anywhere else on the college or pro level. And now he's on an NFL sideline as the quarterback coach for the Carolina Panthers. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll head out to the NCAA tournament next. Princeton assistant coach Brett McConnell will join us. Tyler Palumbis still to come 25 minutes from now as we got to do a QB carousel featuring the Denver Broncos.